Hey everyone, Alex here, director and narrator for Saints Alive. If you are supporting us today, thank you. For those who are on the fence, we want you to know that in order to continue to create these episodes, we need your help. We have so much in store for this apostolate, and if each of our listeners gave as little as $5 a month, we would be fully funded. Visit saintsalivepodcast.com/donate today and check out some of the fun perks that go along with patronage. When you donate to Saints Alive, you are supporting a small Catholic business with a big vision. You're funding the development of two new series this year, and most of all, you're helping to transform our culture by igniting the church with the lives of the saints. Join us today at saintsalivepodcast.com/donate. Welcome to Saints Alive, where we take you with us to meet God's most heroic followers. The saints were just ordinary boys and girls who allowed God's love to transform them into real-life superheroes. Their love for God changed our world. Did you know that God has sent you here to become a saint? It's up to you to choose love over fear, to be courageous, faithful, and kind. The choice to become a saint won't be easy, but it will be worth it. So listen closely and open your hearts. These real-life tales of the saints from the past may just inspire you how to live your story. Let's go on this adventure together. Catholic Family Crate and Saints Alive have teamed up to create an interactive listening experience with a collection of saint coloring pages. These pages are hand-illustrated, free, and you can download and print them from any computer. Color along by listening to Saints Alive by downloading these coloring sheets at catholicfamilycrate.com/saintsalive. Again, that link is catholicfamilycrate.com/saintsalive. Today, we will hear the story of Mother Teresa, an extraordinary and beloved saint. She was born in Albania in 1910 and given the name Agnes. Though she began her life in the most humble of ways, her indomitable spirit and tireless devotion to the poor caught the attention of the world. She spoke about the tender love of God for all men, women, and children, especially the poor. With the strength that comes from God, she stood up to the most powerful people in the world, exhorting them to protect the most defenseless among us, the unborn. To a world grown cold to the things of the Spirit, she reminded them of what is possible with God, if we could only look to Him with the eyes of little children. The sun over India rose hot above a steamy Calcutta. The streets were clogged with the hurry of merchants, the wares of peddlers, and vagrant beggars. An aroma, a blend of both bitter and sweet, of cooking fish and vegetable curries, wafted through the morning mist. On top of the morning's usual bustle and commotion, a palpable tension hung in the air. What began as a vague uneasiness began to coalesce into a concerted frenzy outside the Missionary of Charity's Home for the Dying. A mob was gathering and growing.
Mother, Mother, have you seen Mother? Oh, Mother, there you are.
What is the matter, my daughter? What is troubling you?
A mob is forming outside. They're angry, Mother, and they're throwing stones and screaming curses at us. Oh, the crowd is getting bigger.
Come, Subhashini. Let us go to them.
Go to them? Oy.
Are we not Jesus' little lambs? Will he not care for us in all our needs? Now, before I open this door, I want you all to listen to me. Is the servant greater than her master?
Mother, what do you mean?
Is the servant greater than her master? If our Lord Jesus was hated, accused of falsehood, and condemned by a mob, can we who left everything to follow him, can we expect anything better?
Mother Teresa opened the door and scanned the crowd with loving eyes, searching for a friendly face, but found not one. She closed her eyes and brought Jesus before her mind. Jesus, who stood before Pontius Pilate, while the ones he loved cried out, "Crucify him!"
Lord, what must I do? Show me what I must do. Please, help me, Jesus.
The din from the crowd faded as Mother Teresa found her mind brought back to her childhood, when friends and family knew her as Agnes, to the day this love was kindled, her first Holy Communion.
Congratulations, my little Agnes.
Thank you, Father.
Agnes, I looked at you today and could feel your joy. You received a great gift, Jesus himself. Now, listen, put your hand in his and never let go.
Yes, Mother, I will.
Now, let's say grace so we can enjoy this beautiful dinner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Who could that be?
Ah, oh, Mateo. Ambra, we're so glad you could make it. Come in, come in.
Drana, may I speak with you for a moment?
Of course, my dear.
I know you want to help ease the suffering of our poor neighbors, but we have them over for many meals. Can't we have this special meal with just us, just our family?
Nicola, today is a day of rejoicing. Our daughter has received Jesus in Holy Communion. Jesus wants to share a meal with those less fortunate. They are his guests.
Ah, my love. Whenever you speak, you remind me why I fell in love with you in the first place. Your heart. Ah, Mateo, Ambra, come take a seat next to me at the head of the table. Agnes, my darling, may this day be the start of something beautiful for God.
Agnes spent an idyllic childhood with her loving parents, brother, and sister. Her father, a successful businessman, was active in the political life in Albania and admired by many of the poor for his generosity. But when she was 12, her father suddenly became very sick and passed away. It was a tragedy for their family, but Drana carried on and offered up her suffering to God.
Children, I know you are all grieving your father. This is a tremendous trial. But grief can either harden or soften hearts. Let's offer this sorrow to our Lord.
The Lord will make something beautiful out of all of this.
Yes, Agnes, he will. Now, everyone, wash up. We have guests coming over.
What sort of guests?
Some of them are our relations, but all of them are our people. My child, never eat a single mouthful until you are willing to share with others. And never forget, children, when you do good, do it quietly, as if you were throwing stone into the sea.
Agnes, her brother, and sister lived with and learned from their mother's holy simplicity and kindness. Over the next few years, Agnes felt her heart welling up, filling with a desire for something more. Drana had recognized greatness in her daughter all along. So when Agnes chose to join the Loretto sisters in Ireland, it didn't come as a surprise. The year was 1928, and though Agnes was only 18 years old, and just 5 feet tall, she had the ability to hold the attention of a room. Her love of God was palpable. She and her mother stood on the train platform waiting to leave for Ireland. Drana looked into her daughter's eyes. She had the keen sense that this would be the last time she would hold her hand.
Put your hand in Jesus' hand and walk alone with him. Walk ahead, because if you look back, you will go back. Goodbye, my beautiful daughter.
As the train pulled away, Agnes could feel, fading into the distance, all that she had ever cherished in this world. She wiped away the tears that quickly slipped down her cheeks and smiled broadly as she waved goodbye. She knew her journey was just beginning. Once she arrived in Ireland, Agnes joined the Sisters of Loretto and took the name Sister Mary Teresa in honor of Saint Therese of Lisieux. Memories of her mother followed her across the seas. She knew that Jesus had been calling her all along to serve the poor and bring them the gospel. Her heart's most dear desire was to bring this joy to the most far-flung land which she could find on a map, India. She went to her mother superior to tell her of this calling.
Come in. Ah, Sister Mary Teresa, good to see you.
What is it that you need?
Mother superior, may I speak with you?
Of course. What is it?
Well, from the day of my first Holy Communion, the love for souls has been within. It has grown within the years.
Of course it has. Sure, look at the beautiful work you're doing here in Ireland.
Yes, but I feel called to leave.
Leave?
Yes, to India, in the hope of saving many souls.
India? Oh, sister. In the short time you've been here, I've seen the longing in your eyes to serve Jesus. I've seen you in prayer, searching for his will.
So, you'll allow it?
Well, I just need to know this call that you feel. Are you certain it's from Jesus?
Yes. He's the one calling me.
Well, if this is where Jesus is calling you, who am I to get in his way? Go. Go to India, spread the news of his mercy and goodness.
Thank you, Mother. Oh, thank you.
Ah, that little sister. I hope the world is ready for her.
Sister Teresa couldn't stop smiling as she ran back to her room at the convent. Jesus' words came to her mind. It is fire that I have come to bring upon the earth. How I wish it were already ablaze. With these words on her heart, she sat down and wrote to her mother.
Pray for your missionary, that Jesus may help her to save as many immortal souls as possible from the darkness of unbelief.
Sister Teresa spent years teaching at a school for young Indian girls. Upon taking her final profession of vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, she became a spouse of Jesus for all eternity and became known as Mother Teresa. Through her patient teaching, loving guidance, and unwavering commitment to her students, she won their admiration. In addition to teaching academics and catechism, she taught them a concern for the poor in their midst. One hot September day in 1946, Mother Teresa made her way through the crowded streets when she heard a voice behind her.
Mother! Mother Teresa!
Ah, where is she? Where are you running off?
I was coming to find you, Mother. Where are you going?
To a retreat in Darjeeling. But I will only be a few days. Now, what is on your mind, my child? Come, walk with me.
I want to ask you a question, Mother.
Anything, my dear.
See, my family has written letters. Worrying letters. They are, I come from a high caste in India. My father is very rich and the word is spreading that I'm helping you feed and clothe the poor in the lower caste. Our neighbors call them the untouchables. They think it's shameful for the daughter of a high caste family to be touching, even getting close to these untouchables. They think it's ordained by the gods that the poor are poor.
Subhashini. For the true God, there are no untouchables. Jesus touched the leper, the blind. He washed the feet of dirty beggars. We are all poor. Poor beggars before the Lord. All of us. Not one of us is worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals.
But my family, what do I say to them? Their neighbors don't know the Lord. They're Hindu.
My dear, sometimes there is nothing you can say to change minds and hearts. You can only show them the love of Jesus, the Son of the only true God.
Thank you, Mother Teresa. I knew you would have the advice that I needed.
My train is calling. My dear, I'll be back soon.
Mother Teresa boarded the train filled to the brim with other passengers. She moved about and found an empty seat. As the train pulled out of the station, she took out her rosary and began to pray. With her eyes on the majestic peaks of the mountains, her tender voice whispered Hail Marys on her lips. With the regular rhythm of the train tracks in her ears and her mind on Jesus, Teresa found herself plunged into deep contemplation of God. She found herself along a narrow path in midday. The air was still, the sun was bright. She began to walk up a hill along the narrow path. Her soft footfalls on the stones penetrated the profound silence. As she neared the top of the hill, she found a well under a cerulean sky surrounded by blooming rose bushes. As a gentle breeze stirred through the roses, she heard a voice.
Teresa, give me a drink.
Lord, it is you. I hear you. Please, let me see you.
Teresa, give me a drink.
Teresa peered over the edge of the well and saw the most beautiful, crystal clear water.
I thirst for you, Teresa. I thirst for your love. Give me a drink.
As Teresa drew the water pail from the depths of the well, her soul tasted the infinite and mighty goodness of Jesus. She began to weep for joy that the creator of the universe, who loved her before the world began, desired, thirsted, waited, and longed for her love in return. As she held the pail, she looked into the water and saw her reflection. Slowly, the image in the water transformed into the faces of men and women, boys and girls.
They do not know me, so they do not want me. I thirst for all of them. I thirst to be loved by them. Teresa, be so very united to me as to radiate my love on souls. Let this word of mine echo in your soul. I thirst.
Thy will be done. Not my will. Not mine.
In fighting the darkness of this world with my love, you will feel my desolation and abandonment on the cross. Even though you will not feel my presence, you must know that I am with you. Always.
Teresa opened her eyes and looked down at her hands, caressing the crucifix of her rosary beads. The train came to a stop, and she realized she was already in Darjeeling. All the happy consolation which had accompanied the vision was finished, and not to return. But her heart was full with the certainty of God's love, her mind absorbed with purpose, and her will was steeled. This was her mission.
I will do what you ask, Lord. I will bring you to the poorest of the poor. These hands will do your work.
In order to tend to the masses of the poor in Calcutta, Mother Teresa had to leave her beloved school and the Sisters of Loretto. She knew it wouldn't be easy to explain this to her mother superior.
Teresa, you cannot leave our order. You have made vows.
I understand that. But this is not my decision. I have always been very happy in the Sisters of Loretto. This is the decision of Jesus. He has asked that I start a new order, the Missionaries of Charity, devoted solely to care for the poorest of the poor. I would not be denying my original call. Mother, this is a call within a call. And surely, Jesus can dispense me from my vows to the Sisters of Loretto.
Unless Jesus tells me himself. Why, I cannot dispense you from your vows. Well, not even our bishop can do that.
What about the Pope? Surely, he's Christ's vicar on earth.
It will take a long time, Teresa, for the Pope to even get your request. And then why would he listen to a little nun in Calcutta?
If Jesus tells him to listen, he will.
And Mother Teresa waited patiently until the day she finally received permission from the Vatican. On August 17, 1948, she dressed for the first time in a white, blue-bordered sari to enter the world of God's poor as a missionary of charity. Every day before dawn, in the silence of contemplation before the Blessed Sacrament, Mother Teresa heard the echo of Jesus' cry on the cross, "I thirst." She started in the most humble of ways, sitting beneath the shade of the Arjuna tree and lovingly teaching the children that would come to see her.
Dear children, today we will learn the rest of the alphabet. Ah, we have more friends. Please, come, sit.
Mother, do you have room for me and my sister?
Do we have room? Of course there is room. How can there be too many children? That is like saying there are too many flowers. Come on, dear, sit down. Sit down next to Nandine. Nandine, please make room for our new friends.
Though people were initially suspicious of this Christian woman dressed in a traditional sari, their hearts were softened as they came to know the woman who emanated love. When school was over, she wandered the streets of Calcutta looking for Jesus and the unwanted, the unloved, the uncared for. One day, in her wanderings through the city, she came upon a man consumed with sickness. She knelt beside him, put a cool towel on his head, and began washing his sores.
Who are you?
My name is Teresa, Mother Teresa. And who are you?
What does it matter who I am?
It matters who everyone is. God knows everybody's name. Will you tell me yours?
Rohan.
It is good to meet you, Rohan. Now, let me see your leg.
It is swollen.
Stop. Why are you helping me? Is this a joke? Who put you up to this? I must have brought this suffering on myself, or else I am cursed. My family and friends do not want to be cursed along with me. This is my punishment. Leave me alone. Leave me to suffer and die alone.
Dear, dear, save your energy. God will never leave you. So, neither will I.
It is useless to resist the will of the gods.
It is useless to resist the will of Mother Teresa. Now stay still.
Who sent you?
God. God has sent me.
Teresa, I don't understand. Why would a god send a servant to me?
God has sent us more than a servant. He has sent us his son. I am the son's servant. Now, before I tell you more, let me wrap that leg of yours.
As Mother Teresa tenderly wrapped his leg and washed his wounds, Rohan felt the burdens of life lift from his body and his soul.
This peace, this love, I want this always. Where can I find it? And keep it.
Come with me, and you'll see. Lean on me. Like this. Yeah, I will help you walk.
This is just the beginning of Mother Teresa's story. I'm sure you can see why her name is known throughout the world, and she is such a well-loved saint. The message that Mother Teresa received on the train to Darjeeling propelled her into her mission to serve the poorest of the poor. Though exactly what Mother Teresa experienced on the train remains a mystery, we took creative liberty and used biblical imagery to exemplify just how important this message was from Jesus. What are ways that you can serve the poor around you? Maybe it's in donating some of your allowance or toys to those in need. Or maybe it's simply in remembering to pray for the poor. We can't wait for you to hear the second part of Mother Teresa's story, premiering September 18th. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Alex.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Tanner.
And we are the team of Saints Alive. We are so grateful for all of our wonderful listeners and need your help to keep this going. Please consider donating to our ministry through our Patreon account, which you can find through our website at www.saintsalivepodcast.com. A special thanks to our new patrons who are donating $10 a month and up. These are families and individuals who donate to help us to continue Saints Alive. And a special thanks to our new patrons, Josephine, Marianne, Danny, Abraham, Eleanor, and Arthur Sieben, the Tuhumsky family, Charlie, Leo, Janie, Agnes, and Catherine, Thomas and Casey Jacob, Basil, Esther, and Lawrence Claridge, the Cato children, Ariana, Roman, Pierce, Iris, Vincent, and Tiberius, Joe, Kimberly, Addie, Skyler, Noah, Josiah, and Dominic Kovacic, Michael and Zach Holscher, the McDevitt kids, Joseph, Michael, Patrick, Thomas, Miriam, and Matthew, Marion, Evelyn, Jojo, and Pierce Timpe, Levi, Nolan, Rocco, Beau, and Maria Feist, James, Francis, and Martha Rains, Jude and Micah DeSilitz, Tobias and Reese Marshall, Matthew, Hannah, and George Wiegand, Julie and Maria, Evelyn, Connor, Zachary, and Margaret, and the Luco Osa family. Thank you all so much. We are excited to announce the launch of our Saints Alive Youth Missions. We are now bringing Saints Alive to you, live, in your parish or school. Our youth missions are dynamic talks to inspire your children to set out on the journey to sainthood. Complete with giveaways, you can turn a normal school day into a day that forms future saints. Booking now for the coming fall and spring semesters. Email us today for more information at saintsalivetalks@gmail.com.